So unfortunately, he sends his apologies. So I will be trying to fill in for him. Yes, like Kathy just did. I'll try and fill in for him and see how we go. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we ask that your spirit will be here. We thank you that you are always with us. And we pray that once again, God, as we come to hear from your word, that your word will become a word in our lives, that it might transform and shape us. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I first moved to Seaforth, I wanted to set a new pattern and try and make more of an effort to get to know my neighbours, which I hadn't really done before. So when I first came here, I think it was a rainy day, and I went over to the house next door and I like knocked on the door and nobody answered. And I'm like, okay, job done. I've tried and they weren't home. But I don't know if you ever have that feeling. Like, I feel like this is when I know that the spirit is at work, when the spirit's like, no, no. You're like, okay, what can I do? And I know, I'm like, this is an easier way than actually talking to people. I'm going to write them a letter and I'll introduce myself that way. So like I wrote a letter and kind of stuck it in the mailbox. And then I actually got a letter in return. So they introduced themselves to me. And eventually we did actually meet in person and we began to chat. And it's been really lovely. They're lovely neighbours. But I guess one of the questions I have now is like, what next? Like I got to the first stage of actually getting to know who they are, but what next? Because as I look around my street and this area, there's a lot of people who are married with children, either young children or like adult children who've kind of moved on. And I feel like my life is so different to them. And I'm like, well, how do I connect with them? How do I love my neighbor? How do I even speak to them about God? And I have to confess, even though I'm the one that came up with this series to talk about neighbours, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like it's another chore on my list of things I should do this week to be a good Christian. And it just seems like exhausting because we're very busy, there's no time. And so how do I approach loving my neighbour in a way that doesn't feel like it's a chore? I don't know if anyone else does that, but that's my struggle. So I love this story in John's Gospel, this story of Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. And I think this story begins to help answer questions that I've been wrestling with. Because Jesus has a conversation with someone who is in many ways really different to him, right? He is talking to a woman, someone who comes from a very different religious and cultural background. And he begins by like trying to make small talk, saying that he's thirsty. And then she responds. Now, she responds by acknowledging kind of the obvious, that it is kind of shocking that he is talking to her. She's like, we do come from different cultural backgrounds and Jewish men don't talk to Samaritan women. So like, what are you doing having this conversation with him, with me? And then I love Jesus' response because it's like classic Jesus, right? Instead of answering the question, he's like, okay, let's forget small talk and let's plunge into the deep stuff. And so I want to pick it up in verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and what it is and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you fresh water. Even though we are so different and our experiences are often quite different, I think at the end of the day, a lot of us are just trying to make sense of life. What is life? What is it all about? What's kind of the purpose? How do we make sense of it all? And Jesus has this habit of drawing on the things that are most human. He tries to draw on, like, what are the things that we have in common? Now, he's just been walking for who knows how long and he's thirsty. And that's how he begins the conversation, by acknowledging kind of a universal need, right? That we get thirsty, we get tired, we get hungry. And in fact, we need water, we need food to actually keep living. These are the things that give life, that nourish us. And I think Jesus is trying, and I think he often does this with people, is trying to help people wrestle with how do you make sense of this crazy thing that we call life? Because I think we try to do all we can to live, all we can to do as much as we possibly can with our life before death diminishes us. And it might not always feel like it, like your body might feel pretty solid now and where you live might feel very solid, but life is incredibly fragile. And I think Jesus had this deep awareness of how fragile life was. And so he wants to get into the discussions that get into what life is all about. And so that's what he's trying to engage this woman with, trying to unpack, what is life all about? One of the fundamentals that the Bible teaches, and I guess it's kind of the framework in which Jesus kind of operates in, is that life is a gift. That life is a gift given to us by God. Now, sometimes we can embrace that gift. Sometimes some of us just want to throw that gift away because living is not easy. But it is grace, God's grace, that we are alive right now. And so one of the things I think Jesus and like the Bible kind of teaches us is the importance of gratitude and the importance of practicing thankfulness. And that sometimes might mean stopping. So I think before we go out, especially if you're feeling flat like me, before you go out and try and love your neighbor, I actually think we need to stop and spend time listening to God, being with Jesus, and in particular maybe spend time like thanking Jesus, because we know so much more than this woman, right? This woman, even at the conversation, she's beginning to grasp that she is talking to maybe not just a prophet, but actually God's Messiah, God's King. But we know that not only is Jesus the Messiah, but Jesus is God in the flesh. That's what we were talking about last week. The God who's prepared to become the God next door. The God who creates life, the God who sustains life, came amongst us. And when death tried to diminish him, it failed. God raised Jesus from the dead, which means Jesus is alive now. Which transforms the way that we read the Bible. When we read the Bible, we're not just reading about, oh, that's nice that Jesus once had a conversation with someone like thousands of years ago. No, we can still have conversations with Jesus now. So we look, how did Jesus interact with people? Because that gives us a glimpse of how we might interact with Jesus right now and talk to him. Before we go out loving our neighbors, spend time listening to Jesus, because I think Jesus could actually teach us so much. So Jesus, through the Spirit, could actually, kind of what I think Susie was saying before, can give us the empathy to love people who are different from us. So sometimes when we look at our neighbours and we think, wow, what do we have in common? Like that's when we need God to be at work trying to help us to love them as God loves them, because God loves our neighbours, God loves us. We need the Spirit sometimes, I think, to help us. What is the ground that we have in common? In what way can I start a conversation with them that kind of like taps into a universal need, or just how do I make small talk with them? Maybe for those of us who struggle with small talk, we might need the Spirit's help. The Spirit, I think, can help us work out how do we get deeper? How do we get into those deeper conversations? How do we even have the courage or the heart to want to connect with our neighbours? So before we like go out, you can, and maybe some of you agree with this, before we go out and try and love in our own strength, I think this is why this year the theme is like prayer, people and place. Like prayer and place and people are so linked. We actually need, I think, God to do this with us. I think it's only as we know God's love for ourselves that we are able to pass that love on to others. And I think because Jesus obviously had a very intimate relationship with God, that he wanted to pass on that love. And you see him doing this again and again. Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" So, like, this woman doesn't really understand who she's talking to. She's like, this man is saying really confusing things. He said, "If you only knew who you're talking to, the gift, you would be amazed." And she's like, "I don't really understand what you're talking about." So when you are confused, you tend to fall back on your foundational stories. She's like, "What do I know? What could I possibly have in common with this like Jewish man?" She's like, "Jacob, Jacob was our ancestor. Jacob is the ancestor to both Jews and Samaritans. And she's like, I know his story. He was the one that built this well. He's the one that why the Samaritans have managed to survive is because we've had this well. And so we've had water and we've been able to kind of flourish. So she starts drawing on this story. We have lots of stories that end up shaping us. We have like really big stories that actually kind of been accumulated over the centuries that end up shaping us. And we have personal stories that shape us. And sometimes we have really unhelpful stories that end up shaping us. And I think that there could be a few stories that we have that we've kind of accumulated that actually stop us from being present to God and present to others. And I want to mention three, kind of drawing on the work by a guy named Roger Helland. The first story that I think we end up absorbing is called excarnation, which is kind of the opposite of incarnation. And so it kind of comes from the Enlightenment. This story is kind of the Christian story, but in the Enlightenment, a lot of people got really uncomfortable with like supernatural stuff. So they started to strip back as much as you can when you still want to believe in God, all the supernatural stuff. So there's a lot of Christians that have kind of absorbed this story that, you know, like miracles don't happen today, healings don't happen today. God is kind of, after the book of Acts, kind of becomes almost inactive, not very involved in the world. And this story is kind of linked into a lot of the stuff I've been talking about in the last few weeks. It ends up like divorcing parts of your body. So the Enlightenment tended to emphasize your mind over your body or your head over your heart, which Christians can end up doing too. So there's a lot of Christians, you know, who can tell you a lot of facts about the Bible and about Jesus, but actually have kind of a cold relationship with God because it's all in their head, which makes it really hard to share God with others. I think if it's only in your head, I think we need a head, heart, body relationship. And if you don't expect God to be active in this world today, if you don't think, oh, God's going to speak to me, then you're not looking for where is God at work in this place. And so I think that becomes an unhelpful story. Another story that I was touched on by someone in our discussion earlier is consumerism. This is a massive story that we are shaped by, even as Christians, the idea that the more stuff you have, the better life will be. And so we live trying to make that a reality. That's why a lot of people go and study so they can get a good job, so they can earn money, so you can buy the stuff you need. Now, I think it's slightly shifted. So it's not just about stuff anymore, but about experiences. Like if we can just accumulate, you know, good experiences and good stuff, then we'll have a full life. Now, trying to pursue that vision kind of means that we start to see people as objects because, like, everything becomes for sale. Like, you can even pay people to be your friend now. You can pay someone to come and, like, have a conversation with you. And that's how we see everything. Everything has, like, a value. Like, how much would it cost for you, you know, to do cook food for me or, like, do the garden for me or, like, clean? Yeah, we have everything. Can be just – and even religion can often be for sale. We go church shopping and we want to be entertained. And living that way, because, you know, if you want to have all that, you need to work hard so you can earn lots of money to be able to do that. And it's exhausting. So we have like no time really for people. We can have no time for God. And in the end, do Christians have anything to offer our neighbours, or are we just living in the same narrative as everybody else, except we go to church on Sundays? Like, do we have anything more to offer, or are we following all the same story? A really powerful story in our culture. The third one is called extraction. And it's basically similar in some ways to the first one, but like when Christians huddle away and we tell ourselves the story that the world is a dangerous place, it's a dark place, an evil place, like God is like absent. And so, like, except in the church. So we huddle together and we're like, here is the light, here is God, here we are safe. And we're waiting kind of, I guess, for Jesus to return. Now, if you live in that world, well, who has time to love people? Because, like, that's entering, like, a dangerous space where God is not present. But also, when you absorb that story, it means you get very busy doing church stuff. So I'm like, too busy to do loving my neighbor because I've got to go to another meeting at church. I've got to go, you know, whatever, another ministry I'm going to get involved in at church. And so we become disconnected from others. And I think we're missing part of who God is as well. So Jesus looks at the woman at the well. He sees that she's stuck in this repetitive cycle. She has her own story that's kind of unhelpful that she's in. And he says, like, do you want to get out of this cycle? Do you want to stop going and getting water all the time? Because I have direct access to God. It's right here. It's so simple. You can have full life by coming to know me. I think that offer is still true to us. You want to get out of the cycle, some of those false stories that you're in? We can come and know God through Jesus. We can have direct access to the one who's full of life. And one of the ways I think we learn this, like not just in our head but in our whole lives, is learning to see that God is present everywhere. I don't know if I've suggested this before or not, but I think this is so powerful. Learning to practice reading the Bible or praying in public places. We tend to do both those things in church or in our homes, like private places. But if you've never done this before, this is the challenge this week. And you don't have to do it like in a loud, dramatic way so everyone can see. I am reading the Bible here. It can be subtle, but what do you notice about God when you're in a different place? So go down to Warringah Mall. And try praying in that space. And by praying, like, you don't always have to pray with your eyes shut. You can pray with your eyes open. And look around and go, where is Jesus in this space? There's all these people hurrying around, shopping, doing all these important things. Like, where is God at work in this space? And where might I be able to join God? Where might God need to bring some transformation? If Warringah Mall is too far away, even simpler is to start doing like a prayer walk. We're going to try this in a few weeks as a church, just in case you've never done it before. But it's fairly simple. It's walking, or you can run if you want to increase your exercise. And you pray at the same time. And you're asking questions like, again, where is God at work in this place? Oh, God, give me a heart for the people in this place. So earlier this year, because I'm trying to do slightly more exercise, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start after I finish work, which tends to be, 5 o'clock. I'm going to start walking up the streets around here and kind of doing exercise and kind of praying. Now, it's a beautiful area because as you go up higher, you can like see glimpses of the ocean, and it's like a nice time of the day because it's like the twilight time. So the sun's transforming the clouds. And I've discovered some really interesting things. Like there is a street library. I don't know how many people access it because it's not in a very visible spot, but there's some people trying to create community. And I also see areas where I think there's some challenges, like there's these, like lots of gates. There's lots of gates and trees that almost serve as like barriers. I think, oh, that is really hard. Like, how do you connect to people who have beautiful sculptured gardens? Like, how do you like just casually drop in? Which I think, I love their gardens, but like it can stop community. So that's what I've been praying through. And as I've been walking and praying, I find myself having fresh love for people and for this place, and starting to think, get God's love for this place. So if you're feeling flat and feeling like I'm struggling to connect with my neighbors and it feels like a chore, I think doing something like a prayer walk and beginning by praying until you start to feel that love again is a great place to start. So you can pray anywhere. You can also read the Bible anywhere. If you catch a bus to work, like try reading the Bible. I get motion sick, so I can't read on the bus. But if you don't get motion sick or you're waiting at the bus stop, try reading your Bible. A friend of mine from Hornsby Baptist once said we catch trains more in Hornsby, less buses. So he was waiting for the train at Hornsby Station and someone came up to him and said, like, what are you reading? He's like, the Bible. And of course, then that's one of those moments when the person's like, oh, I've been meaning to read the Bible. And then they have this great conversation. Those conversations never happen to me, but they happen to other people. And I think this is really lovely. Like, I don't think he was reading the Bible again in like an obvious way, like, look, here I am reading the Bible. But he was loving God. And as he was loving God, he got to end up having this conversation with somebody who was seeking God. And I think that often happens. As we love God, we often find ourselves loving others. And so what starts out as a simple conversation or what starts out as a simple thing, we find ourselves almost like Jesus, or Jesus deliberately try to look for these opportunities, plunge into deeper conversations. So Jesus continues the conversation with this woman, verse 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never be thirsty again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Life is fragile and we want more life. I think one of the things we can try to think about with our neighbours, and we could ask them or we can, I guess, take this as a more reflective exercise, is what are the stories our neighbours are telling about themselves to make sense of life? What are the stories that are shaping them, both the big stories and the small stories? One of the stories I think we trust in is the idea that science and technology is going to save us from all our problems, and that science and technology will give us life. And science and technology has definitely made huge advancements, like we can live quite a long time. But when Jesus is talking about life, he's not just talking about living a long time. He's not talking just about having life after you die. He's talking about full life. Jesus offers full life. And as he looks at the woman, knowing her story, he knows why she is collecting water in the middle of the day, which is the worst time of the day to be like lugging around water. He knows why she has been completely cut off from her community and neighborhood. It's because she's had five husbands, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. And he can see how this knowledge is eating away at her. It's almost kind of making her small. She's becoming diminished by her circumstances. And I think the story she tells in her head must be pretty negative, right? Like, why has this happened to me? Like, either these husbands have, like, died, which is, like, you know, a lot of people dying. Like, am I cursed? What's wrong with me? Or they've left her, which again probably goes back, like, something must be wrong with me. There's, like, a lot of shame that this woman is carrying. And so when I think about life, I think, yes, having long life is important, but who wants to live forever if ourselves are not right? Like sometimes ourselves seem so fragile. And all these stories that we tell ourselves, yes, there's big stories that have lies in them, but also even our personal stories often have these lies running through them that make us feel ashamed, that make us feel small. And if we don't hear Jesus' offer of full life, if we don't believe that Jesus can set us free from even the false thoughts and stories that we tell ourselves, then again, how can we bring this good news to others? You know, as a preacher, I say a lot of lovely words about Jesus and about how the gospel sets us free and, you know, victory has been won in God. And yet day to day, I find myself not always living it out. And I find myself still listening to old voices or going back into feeling ashamed of things. I feel like it's such a battle, actually, like this wrestle between living this good news that we hear about and that we read about, and then actually living it day in, day out. And when I don't, I don't want to love my neighbours. I feel like I just want to hide away almost. And so that is why I think prayer is so important, that we need to make space in our lives. And it'll look different for different people, right? But you have to do whatever you need to do to be able to hear from Jesus and recognize that Jesus is present and at work in this world. Jesus offers life, not just endless life, not just life free from shame, but ultimately Jesus offers a life that is found in relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, you can be friends with God. You can actually be whatever word you want to use, partners, collaborators, is joining in with what God is doing. And so this image of living water is the image of the Holy Spirit, that we have the Spirit of life welling up inside us, cleansing us, praying when we have no more words, when we do feel small and when we do feel weak. The Spirit of God is still with us, bubbling up so that we overflow with life. That's the image of living water that Jesus is giving here. He's saying, walk in step with the Spirit, receive the Spirit and be transformed. Ask the Spirit to help you hear what's going on in other people's lives. What are the stories that they are telling themselves? What are maybe the false stories they're telling themselves? What are the questions that they have? When I worked in Hornsby, I spent a little time working with Link, Love in the Name of Christ, which I think Dean has been involved in. It's a really... I think a fabulous ministry that probably people don't appreciate that much. But you, the idea is that you go in to people's homes and you're ministering in the local suburb, normally to elderly people or people who are chronically ill. And so I remember entering someone's home of this woman who like spent her whole life kind of in bed. She had lots of like machines around her and she has all the professionals. Lots of professionals coming in to help her, which is great. But all she was after was like people to come and visit who actually cared about her and wanted to have a conversation that wasn't to do with all her medical problems and to pray. And so we got to come in and do that. We visited another woman who had never left her home. So she just lived in this like one tiny room. She was quite severely disabled. Her legs couldn't didn't work and she was quite small. And she had a twin. And they were both kind of childlike in their mannerisms. And her twin had just died when I had just went to see her. So, like, completely devastating. And all we did was comb her hair and, again, kind of chatted with her and prayed. Now, this room, even though she'd never left it, was, like, the most colourful room I'd ever seen. There was, like, postcards all over the place. There's chimes hanging everywhere. And I thought, you know, God is present. We don't often see those people. They're kind of hidden away in our own suburbs. And you can think, oh, they're suffering so much. But there's also a lot of joy there too. God is present in those people's lives before I turned up. God was present as we sat with them. And God will be present long after I leave. It is God who redeems. And what Jesus is kind of inviting us is to get to journey with people for a little bit. We won't see everybody's journeys, but God's saying, come and join me as we try and bring life. And sometimes you might have the privilege, like, wouldn't it be fantastic to see one of your neighbors drawing closer to God? Sometimes you might sit and see people pull away from God because I feel like it's a journey. We're like pushing, pulling away from God. And sometimes you might hear our neighbors say these words, like this woman does at the end of this conversation, John 15. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She wants living water. She wants to know God. She's like, show me the way. My heart is to see more people in our community responding like that. But today, I hear those words and I'm like, I'm the woman today. I'm like, God, give me water. I need the Spirit in my life so that I overflow, so that I want to go love my neighbor, so that it doesn't feel like a chore. I don't know if anybody else is in need of fresh water this morning, but that's what I'd like to pray as I finish. If you would like to stand, if that's helpful for you to go, yes, today I am feeling dry and I'm in need of the Spirit, feel free to stand, but it's okay if you don't want to as well. And let me pray. Living God, we thank you that you are the God of life. We thank you that you are God who reached out and became one of us. We thank you, Jesus, for the gift that you bring and offer us. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you that you are still alive and active in this world and in our lives today. God, we, like the woman, want to say, fill us afresh. Would your Spirit fill us with fresh living water so that we are overflowing with life and grace and love and joy and peace and hope. God, help us not to love our neighbors in our own strength, or not to love our neighbors and feel guilty about it, but help us to know you. Living Spirit, come afresh in this church. Would you transform and shape us? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.